The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we saw yesterday, during this interlude between the blowing of the sixth and seventh trumpets, beginning in Revelation chapter 10, a mighty angel came down from heaven with a little book in his hand. We began to see yesterday that the little book brought down by this angel is the Bible, and the message is the gospel contained therein. Elder Buddy Abernathy reminds us that only the regenerate can hear the message, but when the regenerate hear it, they find comfort therein. Indeed, this little book looms large in the lives of God's children, especially those that are obedient in a gospel way. Today, we continue looking at this little book, and we see some of the things that are contained in it that are so important to us in our daily walk with Christ. Join us today as we continue learning about the Bible and how important it should be in the lives of God's children. We'll have a song selection first, but then please stay tuned for the message.
Hark the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. See it rends the rocks asunder, shakes the earth and veils the sky. It is finished, hear the dying.
somebody may say, well, you know, whenever I hear you Primitive Baptists talking about before the world began, I'm afraid you're going to talk about that God predestinated everything that happened. That's foreign to the Bible. God never predestinated events. The only thing the Lord predestinated in conjunction with before the world began is He loved His people in Christ. Here's what the word predestinate means. And predestinated them unto the adoption of children. That has nothing to do with your behavior in this life. He predestinated you to be placed as sons in heaven. That's a comforting doctrine. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He chose you before the world began, predestinated you to be with Him in heaven. That's why Jesus came and saved you. That's why you're called to the Spirit. You're born again, and heaven is your home, and the Lord's coming back to get you. I don't know a better news than that. But you know, there have been those, as there have been throughout the ages, that have drifted off course and taught things pertaining to predestination that are foreign to the Word of God. If you misbehave, that's on you. You can't blame God for your sins. Now, I don't think it would work too well with my wife if I did something mean and said, honey, I can't help it. The Lord predestinated me to do that. I don't think that'd go over too good. And I challenge you to show me a verse in the Bible that teaches that notion. The word predestinated is only used 2 or 3 times, and it always applies to the final destiny of God's people that Jesus saved. But they received the gospel in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now let's suppose you're sitting under preaching that says this. Yes, the Lord loves you. You're on your way to hell. But if you'll meet these conditions, you'll go to heaven. Now, that's certainly going to afflict me, isn't it? But I'm not going to receive that with joy of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to receive that with a sense of condemnation and worry and hopelessness and fear and anxiety. But if you see yourself as a sinner, and yet you hear that Jesus saved sinners, oh yeah, you're afflicted over your sin. We're bothered by it every day. We struggle with it every day. But when you hear the truth of the gospel, you have joy of the Holy Ghost. You can shed tears and rejoice at the same time. That's crazy, isn't it, to the world? But I'm glad to say I've experienced that. Shed tears and rejoice at the same time. The only doctrine under which you're going to have that experience is the doctrine that teaches salvation is by grace, period. Now look at another scripture, and I know we've talked about some other things, but let me bring you back to this idea that the Bible is indeed like a little book unless the Lord blesses it to be preached. Ephesians 6:19 says, Paul's asking the church to pray for him, and he says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Here's the aged apostle Paul acknowledging that utterance must be given unto him that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4, notice what he says here. He says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, when a man's blessed to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that doesn't mean he has a certain chant to his preaching. That doesn't mean that he preaches at a certain rate, and because of his dynamics in the pulpit, that means he has the Spirit. Now, sometimes I get really excited. I remember when we were in this old building here and a lot of people were joining the church, I'd get to preaching so fast sometimes I'd have to stop and catch my breath. But the Spirit means that God anoints the preacher, He anoints you, and it's received not as the word of man, but as the word of God. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm all for education. I try to study the Bible. I try to use dictionaries. I try to use English lexicons. I try to use Strong's Concordance. I try to learn what the word's meaning was originally in the Hebrew or in the Greek. I'm all for studying and learning the Bible. But no man can make himself a preacher. You can't make someone a preacher. I like what I heard a preacher say one time. Being called to preach is not a local call. It's not a mama call. It's not a granddaddy call. It's a long distance call. It's a call of God. You can't educate a man and make him be called to preach. God must call him. And one of the evidences that God calls men to preach, not always the case, is that He calls some peculiar characters to preach. You know, Paul said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul was highly educated, but he was basically saying that's the exception, not the rule. You know what they said about those uneducated fishermen like Peter and different ones? He said, here's what the religious world said. They said, they observed that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, he wasn't saying they don't know anything about life. He was saying, as far as the religious world is concerned, as far as religious upbringing is concerned, as far as coming up under the training and teaching of the Old Testament scriptures, which was all they had at that time, he said they were ignorant and unlearned men, but what got people's attention is they had been with Jesus. I have no education to impress you with. There's nothing about me that sets me above anybody else. But if God has called me to preach, that's my confidence. That's my source of power. So notice this. And we'll bring this to a conclusion today, although we've only address one of these verses. Notice what he says. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Now let me just address one point of that. You know, I know it's curious to consider how is it sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly, and Lord willing we'll get to that, but I just want you to see one point here. He says, take it and eat it up. In other words, the Bible needs to be consumed by the Lord's people. Let me give you some reasons for this that should convince you how important it is. Most of these are in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is basically what the Bible has to say about the Bible. Look at Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Oh, there's all kind of ideas today, all kind of philosophies, all kinds of perversions, all types of immorality. And the experts are ready to tell you what truth is. But this says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 128. Here's the way we should think, if that be the case. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. If this is the inspired word of God, and it's forever settled in heaven, the only logical mindset we ought to have is, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Every modern sin today is addressed in the Word of God. All of the immorality we see in our culture is all addressed in the Word of God. And your attitude ought to be, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Look at verse 24 in Psalm 119. He says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Where are you getting your counsel? There are counselors in this world that are godly people from which you can benefit. I'm not being critical of that. But here is the best counsel. Here's the inerrant counsel. Here's the counsel that if you follow it, whether you lived in the first century or the 21st century, will get the results in your life that will bring the greatest peace and the greatest contentment and the greatest joy. And then look at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. What a profound statement. I meditate on the Word of God, so I have more understanding than all my teachers. What does he mean by that? Have you ever watched one of these daytime talk shows on TV, and they're addressing some modern problem, whether it's a marriage problem, oftentimes it's a problem with a child that's involved in some ungodly activity, or they're a rebellious child, and they bring the experts in, and you as a child of God can sit there and say, he doesn't understand. I have more understanding of my teachers. Is that a prideful thing to say? No, that's saying that man doesn't know what the Word of God says, and he's wandering around in the dark. And I've used this example many times, and I'll just use it again. What's one of the first things you hear from the experts on parenting? Whatever you do, never spank your child. You have more understanding than your teachers. The Bible doesn't teach abusing your child. It doesn't teach applying the rod because you're angry or frustrated. But the Bible says in Proverbs 22:5, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The world says we're born basically good. The Bible says you're born basically bad. You don't have to train your children to lie. You don't have to train them to... I haven't had to train my children or my grandchildren to say, mine. Have you? Never had to train them to do that. I've never had to train them that when their sibling is playing with a toy that they themselves haven't even noticed, that because they're playing with it, they go and grab it. Now, I'm not comparing children to dogs, except in this sense. You have a couple of dogs and a bowl full of food. When one of the dogs is not interested until the other one goes to eat the food, all of a sudden they're hungry. You know, there's so many things about human behavior that prove what Proverbs 22:5 says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. I like to say it in this modern way. Your child has software preloaded, and it's full of viruses. It doesn't work right. And God puts it on you as the parents, especially the father, to recognize that foolishness and drive it out, not with a rod of abuse, but with a rod of correction. Now, I don't say this bragging at all, but when my children were small, we'd come to church. Often I'd sit on the front pew, line them up on the front pew, and they would be still and be quiet. Some people would say, "You're just lucky. You just happen to have good kids." There's no such thing as happening to have good kids. But there's a reason for that. I've made a lot of mistakes, but there's a reason for that. I've talked to a couple of people out in the secular world that have said this. "Oh, I don't know what to do with my child. They just pitch a fit. I just have no control over them." And often I'll say, "I can tell you what will correct the problem." But some of them have learned me well enough to know they don't want that answer. Yet it would solve the problem. See, you can have more understanding than your teachers. And that's just one example. You can have more understanding than the PhD experts with regard to life issues if you'll just read the Word of God and apply it. And in the same way, the preacher must have the Spirit to teach this little book. You need to pray that the Lord will give you insight as you read this little book, which becomes a big book when the Lord opens it up and blesses you to see the answers to every problem in your life. It won't teach you how to repair cars. It won't teach you how to do brain surgery. But anything with regard to life, the Bible says He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.